Our next case this morning is number 062066, Douglas against Kingston. Mr. Summers.
Yes, if it may please the court, Attorney Joseph Summers on behalf of Mr. Douglas. The case that you have in front of you right now, I believe, is somewhat more simple than the other cases you have already heard today. It really all comes down to what is reasonable, what is not reasonable. And to uphold the conviction of Mr. Douglas at both the trial level, the Court of Appeals level in the state of Wisconsin, and with the district court, they have all avoided actually coming to terms with what would have to be so. For the jurors not to have been informed by the other juror, Amanda Horning, and I'm talking about two of them, that is Juror Brown and Juror Schwab, for that to have taken place, there would have to have been a conspiracy, an incredible conspiracy, orchestrated by Mr. Douglas or somebody else on his behalf. It would mean that after his trial, someone would have had to gotten a hold of Juror Brown and Juror Schwab and said, hey, you know what? Amanda Horning worked in the Rock County Jail.
How did she get on the jury?
Actually, that's sort of an incredible thing. See, my client, somebody who can be a jailer and not know a inmate.
Right, but she was not only a jailer, she also knew some of the police that were involved in this case. That was brought out early. I find it odd that she was even on the jury.
Well, I think it is, and actually that's why we found this out, because I actually got on the case at after the trial, and the first thing that I saw was I thought that was very odd for the same reasons you thought it was odd. I had talked
to...
There's
no challenge for cause.
No, see, my client did not know who she was, and she probably knew him through paperwork at the jail.
Well, she disclosed her professional background when she was being voir dired, didn't she?
Yes, except though she didn't tell the truth though. She said, "I don't know the defendant."
Well, that may be very true.
Well, but she said she was a deputy sheriff in Rock County.
But she said that she didn't know the defendant and his attorney. My client was not an attorney, and his attorney basically decided, because she said, "I don't know him."
Well, she didn't have to know him. The fact that she knew he was in the joint didn't make any difference. She said she didn't know him.
She said that she didn't know him.
Oh, she did know him.
She did not, she said.
That's what I said.
Right.
That could be perfectly true and consistent with the entire record.
I don't think so, because I think, and
well,
I have a record in front of me,
but the record is fairly clear.
I think, actually, she indicated that she didn't have any knowledge of who he was.
The voir dire is right here.
But the bottom line was, she got on the jury, the trial attorney. I don't think that it makes any sense.
Trial says she doesn't know how she found out about this. She said she assumed that Amanda told her, but she didn't know. She couldn't remember.
Who said that?
Schwab.
No, actually, Schwab, that is not correct, Your Honor. Schwab's testimony was very definitive. Schwab testified that I was told during the trial that he was in the Rock County Jail. He was there for other reasons. Right. And she also said she was told that by Juror Hornet. She was very definitive in her testimony.
Question. During jury deliberations, did you ever become aware of the fact that at the time of the trial, Mr. Douglas was being housed? Answer, I knew that. And how did you become aware of that? I don't know if one of the persons who were there said it, or you know, I'm assuming she did, that he was being housed out there. When you say you were assuming she did, who was that? Amanda. Amanda Horning. So during deliberations, I didn't talk to her specifically about whether he was being housed out there or no. Did you hear her make statements as being housed? Yeah. When she made these statements, who was present? I'm not sure if just a couple of us heard, because I'm not really sure who even heard it. But I wouldn't say that it's a splendid, unequivocal statement that she discussed it with her. She says, how did you come to aware that? I don't know if one of the persons in there said it, or you know, I'm assuming she did.
Actually, Your Honor, I would say actually that is pretty definitive,
I'm
number one.
She did?
No, you're okay. Just taking that one answer, and then you're
ignoring... Well, that's
ignoring.
The answer she gave. I didn't get the answer. Go ahead with your argument.
Okay. You just took one of her answers. She actually answered after that, Your Honor, and actually her testimony on that altogether, I believe it's about 8 or 9 pages. Without a doubt, Juror Schwab testified, and this is the key fact. Did Juror Schwab know that he was in the Rock County Jail at the time of his trial and that he was there for other reasons? Yes. And that's the only thing that matters. It doesn't really matter how she found out. The fact is, she found out evidence that was not introduced at the trial and it had an impact on what took place. So it doesn't even really matter if you say, hey, did she find out through this way or if she found out some different way. The bottom line is, without a doubt, in her testimony, she is saying absolutely, the trial, I knew that he was in the Rock County Jail. He was there for something else.
If that's your predicate, then we were on the same page.
Okay. And if I prove that, I win. That's the bottom line.
I don't know that necessarily.
No, actually, it does necessarily follow. That's what everybody has tried. That's why they have tried to downplay that. What has happened with the trial court, this court of appeals, and with the district court? Everybody is saying, we don't know that to be true. We don't know that to be true because we're using all the testimony of these other jurors to say, we don't know that during the trial that at least one juror knew that.
We don't know that it had any impact on the jury verdict, is what you're saying, which is a different thing.
Well, I believe that common sense says that it does if you look at the trial record. A key component of the victim's testimony was that this sexual assault had taken place when he was committing other crimes. That was one of the most critical components. By this aspect being substantiated, that meant a critical component of her testimony was being substantiated.
Well, not necessarily. This is not a difficult case. First of all, the defendant doesn't testify. The jury hears from this woman who describes this ordeal that she went through and says that he was a drug dealer. He was doing drugs and all. I don't think it's so far-fetched that some jurors, whether they discussed it or not, thought this is a guy who's been in some trouble before or something like that. So what? The jury obviously believed her testimony.
They believed her testimony, but actually, Juror Brown has even said that during the deliberations, actually, it got very, very heated. Juror Brown has actually brought up that it was, she has claimed, and this is what they have tried to dismiss, that during the deliberations, this was actually brought up to say he's a bad guy.
And well, ten jurors testified that none of this ever happened.
Actually, that's not quite accurate. Actually, their testimony is very, very different. Some of them said a lot of people were talking at the same time. A couple of them have said no, only one person was talking at one time. At least, let's say, two of the jurors have said this was brought up. Juror Brown has been very definitive in, let's say, what she claims happened.
There's 8 people sitting in the back of this courtroom. If they walked outside and you asked them what happened here, you're going to get a lot of different views of what was said, who said what, and that's just the way these things work.
No, but exactly. But that's the point you don't... strike that. The point that I'm trying to make is this. I only got to prove that it impacted one juror. I got 2 jurors saying that it happened. Under the law, I only have to prove that as long as it impacted one juror, I win under the law. It did impact Juror Brown. It did impact Juror Schwab. That's all I have to prove. And if there's a lot of different conversations going on at one time, it wouldn't make sense if people walk out and say, hey, you know what? I heard this over here. I didn't hear this over here. But if 2 people over here said, that's what I've heard, you should believe what they say unless you got some good reason not to. And in this case, there's no reason not to believe Juror Brown. There's no reason at all not to believe Juror Schwab. The bottom line is, Those two jurors said that it happened. They said that they heard it, and it impacted. And I, again, I don't have to prove that it would have impacted with one juror. And I think that that has been overwhelmingly proved. And again, you'd have to think that there's some massive conspiracy where somebody fed this information to Juror Brown and Juror Schwab because it was accurate. I see that my time is up, and unless there are any other questions.
Thank you, Mr. Summers.
Okay. Thank you.
We'll hear now from Ms. Tripp.
Good morning. May it please the court. I'm Kate Lloyd Tripp, representing the respondent. I ask this court to deny Mr. Douglas's habeas petition because he has not met his burden under 2254 D2 to merit relief. The trial court's finding that Douglas failed to show by clear, satisfactory, and convincing evidence that extraneous information reached even one juror is presumed correct under 2254 E. Douglas has failed to rebut this presumption by clear and convincing evidence. Given that jurors Schwab and Brown's testimony was somewhat internally inconsistent, and certainly Brown's testimony was contradicted by the 11 other jurors, I don't think that it can be said that it was unreasonable for the trial court to find that the majority's testimony was more credible than that of jurors Schwab and Brown, and for the district or for the trial court to conclude that Douglas had failed to meet his burden under Broomfield to show that the extraneous information had reached the jury. The testimony of two people that has been contradicted by 11 others can't be said to be clear and convincing evidence. So for these reasons, I ask that you affirm the decision of the district court.
Thank you, Ms. Tripp. I believe Mr. Summers' time had expired, had it not? Well, the case then will be taken under advisement. Thanks to